Blog Talk Radio.
All right, I'm ready to go to the gym. That was good.
Yep.
Welcome to the Matthew Aaron Show. I don't even know what episode we're on. We're back after a little hiatus.
I'll tell you, episode too many.
I honestly think it's like 180 or 190.
It's something like that. It's 180 something, I think. www.thematthewaaronshow.com, at Matt Aaron Show on Twitter. You can follow us on Facebook at The Matthew Aaron Show. You go to the search bar, type The Matthew Aaron Show, and click like. We're on iTunes, we're on Stitcher, we are on all that jazz, and you could listen to the show if you want, and I think the best way to listen to the show is right off the website. I would suggest not going to Blog Talk Radio, because there are a bunch of cocksucking motherfuckers who never promote my show because I'm not black or a female, which is fine,
or gay.
Whatever, or, you know, right, whatever, cool, I get what your demographic is, whatever. I only have the best quality guests to come on this thing. We only do some of the best interviews on your network. But whatever.
And you pay for this.
This isn't, and by the way, because it's on Blog Talk, and I refuse to call it a podcast being on Blog Talk because Blog Talk's not professional enough to even have podcasts, let alone radio. I call this the evolution of radio. This is not a podcast or a radio show anymore.
It's the
evolution of radio.
Yeah,
that's
I
right.
I like that.
Are you done now?
Sean Astin's joining us in 30 minutes, which is 25 minutes or so, which is exciting. He's got a new film out, Abu Ghraib, and then he has a another film, Mom's Night Out, and then Vox Populi, his radio show. You can listen to on Thursdays from 2 to 4 Pacific time on his, on I believe it's VoxPopuli.com. I will check and make sure. It's VoxPopuliRadio.com. And Sean's radio show, which is he built from the ground up and kind of a similar story to ours. I remember the last time Sean was on, he immediately started after doing our show. I didn't get any thank yous or phone calls about it, but okay. No. I'm saying obviously Sean has his own story of how the show started, so I can't wait to hear it and speculate if he's lying to me. But, of course, Sean is in one of my favorite movies of all time, which we've talked about a million times. Last time he was on, Rudy.
Right.
And then, of course, Goonies and, you know, all the Sandler movies. So I've already talked to him about all this shit that matters to me. So we're going to focus when he comes on Vox Populi. For me, right. I want to focus on Vox Populi and Abu Ghraib because Abu Ghraib's a first-time writer, director, actor. Interesting. According to some people out in Hollywood, maybe one that I've fired from our film, first-timers can't do those kind of jobs. They can't do all three of those jobs. This is a good movie done by one kid who was the director, writer, and lead of the movie. Interesting.
Very. Odd. Coincidental.
Odd.
Yeah, very odd.
What would the husbands of the world think of that?
I have no idea.
And then what else is going on? Yeah, you're on.
You're on, Mikey.
Mikey can just never hear himself enough, so I got to crank it a little. Mikey Terzo's joining us. Steve Weirich joining us. Say hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
We have a lot to catch up on.
We do.
Our audience on, at least. For those who do not know, Pat says we were offered some people from Silicon Valley. Get them all. I love that show. He could not get Mikey Judge. Judge doesn't do interviews.
No, he doesn't.
He just doesn't do them. Playboy did an article about Mike Judge. Rolling Stone did an article about Mike Judge. And they don't even have any quotes from Mike Judge. Like, Mike Judge does not do interviews. He's just a stoner in Austin, Texas, who has no time for
That kind of sucks. He helped, like, mold my entire childhood.
He's amazing.
I wish he would do interviews.
The greatest ever. Except for Pat, the one name you mentioned, the person I don't like, don't get him. And you know who I'm speaking of. Listen, I'm done being like
political
about Hollywood.
I
got a project that's going on in LA right now that I can't talk about. I got this movie we're doing, which is incredible, and we're still shooting in May, June, and July. We've been through some crazy pre-production on the movie and production on the movie. Lo and behold, I'm just done doing the
diplomatic
thing. Why this show's great, though. It's very rare I have to fake being nice because we have people I legitimately really like on, like Sean Astin, which is great. And not only as a talent, he's a great guy. When he came on, he was outstanding. He taught me how to use Twitter. And
that's right, he did teach you that.
Well, we might have to do another class because I still don't get it.
Yeah, well, listen, I now get it. I just still don't use it. All I do is retweet Iron Sheik quotes at this point.
You know, Twitter will let you leave, though, to their benefit.
Yeah, Twitter will let you quit.
Twitter will. Well, here's the
They'll quit you.
They'll let you quit. Facebook, they got you in for the long haul.
Well, Facebook wants your life.
Well, except for me, no. They were thrilled when I deactivated.
The reason Steve is bringing this up is I've been trying to deactivate from Facebook for about 4 days now. And I go, Steve, do me a favor, because I just talked to Marconi and I just talked to Pat Tobias, our two great producers, Cesar Marconi, Patrick Tobias. And I go, see if I'm on Facebook, because they said they sent me messages. And as far as I know, if you're deactivated, you can't even see the person, let alone send them messages.
Yeah, you try to tag them on a post or whatever.
Correct. Yeah. Carmi's deactivated before. Luisi's deactivated before. You can't see them. How do they do it? Because I'll tell you something, Steve signs on his new phone, his Alcatel.
My Alcatel,
welcome to the real world, Steve.
Yeah.
Alcatel Fierce. He's fierce. He's on the Alcatel Fierce.
It's off because of, you know, got to be off for the radio.
It's actually a nice phone.
But it's a decent
it's a what nice phone.
The hell is an Alcatel?
That's right. Thank you.
It's this.
Thank you.
It's not a word.
Wait, I say when
you didn't know what an Alcatel was.
No.
I'll
not even a word.
And I don't think it's that fierce either.
Oh,
well,
it's fierce.
Fierce.
It's fierce, baby. It's fierce.
Wait. Alcatel One Touch Fierce.
Oh,
it
yeah.
It sounds like it could be a sex toy.
It is.
I know. That's why.
It has a vibrating function on there that you wouldn't believe, all right?
Either an
Did
old...
you get this at Lover's Lane, Steve?
Close enough, T-Mobile. So it's pretty close.
Lends a T-Mobile client.
Yeah.
Lends T-Mobile.
Well, here's the funny thing. My old phone was at Alcatel, so I'm sucked in. You want me to...
By the way, Val Morella says, tell Sean I say hello. He used to be a big wrestling fan. We talked about that last time he was on because the Cindy Lauper video with Goonies.
There you go.
Captain Lou and Wendy Richter, I believe, was in it, all the wrestlers.
Yeah.
By the way,
yeah.
So
you're trying
I tried
to get
deactivating, and Steve sees that I'm still on, and he sees me personally deactivate my account.
Yeah.
And it won't let me deactivate.
Oh,
no.
It will not let me do it.
No,
I don't know
at
all. How Luisi did it. I don't know how Carmi did it. I'm going to ask them both.
Yeah, but they did it like a year ago.
They did.
You think that it was different then?
They could have changed something in the software.
I actually got a thank you note when I deactivated. It was like, dear user, thank God you're off fucking Facebook. God, we're so much happier now.
This is just unbelievable for
it
me.
It is.
Though.
I'm shocked. It's your luck. It's
so... So do we think Marconi's listening to the show tonight, or did he just produce us a link and walk away? I haven't gotten any notes from him.
How do you give notes on a show?
This is odd. I have not gotten any Marconi notes yet. Mm-hmm. I know Tobias is listening. Tobias is always listening.
Yeah.
And Pat Tobias, huge Sean Astin fan. Huge.
He is.
Huge.
I'm surprised Pat didn't come out to maybe, I don't know, be on the air with him.
Oh, yeah. I'm really shocked Pat didn't leave his home. I'm blown away.
I've been friends with this guy for like 3 years now. I've never met him.
You know, his nickname is the Great and Powerful. And no one sees him. Pay no attention from the man behind the curtain. No.
So why don't we talk about the movie a little?
Yes.
So we're making this film. By the way, I do want to make a plug real quick.
Plug away.
On DVD, as of yesterday, you can see Abu Ghraib.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, producers of Black Hawk Down and Last Samurai, Blood Diamond and Last Samurai, Edward Zwick, who's a great director.
Good movies, too. Good movies.
Yeah, no. This is a powerful drama. It's something you should see. It's really good.
It looked that way. I mean, it was pretty intense.
Yeah, and then Mom's Night Out, which Sean's in, is in theaters May 9th. So you could see Sean's current film, though, right now on DVD,
I believe
video on demand and stuff. I'll ask him. I don't have the details on that. I, of course, got a DVD screener.
Yeah, because, you know.
They're always a little better free.
Yeah.
But it's a great movie.
Everything in life, like sex, it's always a little better free.
By the way, it's called The Boys of Abu Ghraib.
Okay.
The Boys of Abu Ghraib. I keep calling it Abu Ghraib because I'm thinking of it's a big... That's a big topic.
That's a huge topic, yeah.
Sean is so politically active now that I wonder if that's why he did a movie like we're going to talk about it. But so anyway, speaking of politically active, our movie is nothing politically active.
No, but you've got a lot of politicians running it.
Okay, so Pat says it is on video on demand as well. Oh, how about that production meeting last night?
There was one last night, or two nights ago.
Monday.
I almost lost my mind. So let me just give the long story short here. You'll get all
show.
The details in the behind the scenes, and maybe we'll do a special podcast one day talking about the show or about the movie. But I know Sean's radio show is a political show. Pat, I've listened to it. Thank you.
That's something you want to
say. I love
say
how
on
Pat's
air.
Like,
yeah.
Matt's possibly not all there in the head.
Right.
And I need to train him.
That's like someone handing you a sign like saying, hey, you idiot. You know?
Listen, as everyone knows, I'm not political at all anymore.
No.
I've given up on all that.
That was high school.
So when people ask about my movie and if it's political because they hear about the theme of straight guys and gay guys being friends, they go, oh, it must be some liberal bullshit movie. No, it's not. There's no liberal theme to it. There's no conservative theme to it. It's a comedy, and that's all it is.
Yeah,
there's no guys should get married plot points in it. Like, there's no political message in the movie.
And you know what the funny thing is? Here's the funniest thing about that. You get one of two people. They're like, oh, it must be one of those political movies. And then people are like, oh, my God, is it going to be like a good political
movie?
And
those people we want. So I tell them, yes, it's
very
political. All the fart jokes and Mandy Patinkin references.
Yeah,
and,
right,
yeah,
of
yeah,
course.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's a movie. The log line basically is, can straight guys and gay guys be friends? close friends. So we've been making this film. We lost our first lead actor. We replaced him with a Hollywood actor who maybe we thought was a bigger deal than he really is, and then was not very professional and was not a very good person on set. So we fired him.
Oh, I got to add
it. Cost us thousands of dollars. I don't even know if Anthony wants me to talk about that.
Well, he did.
Cost us thousands of dollars on a low-budget indie film, mind you. And now we have like 4 days of shooting done when we should have had 10. We have 6 days we can't use.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we have three technically, and then he got fired, and then three that we didn't film. So now we have to shoot 10 more days in May, June, and July. I mean, what a crazy story that is. We had a problem with locations where people thought because there were gay characters in the movie that they were going to be padunking on their fucking couch or something. And I'm like, no, there's none of that going on. But they're like, well, I don't want filming of that kind of stuff here. But for my straight sex scenes, they were all like, yeah, what do you want to use? The couch, the kitchen, the table?
You know what it is?
China out for it?
People assume that gay people just sex 24/7. Like, you're gay, you must be fucking.
No,
clearly.
I think that may be true. That may be true. I don't know if that's an assumption. That may be a fact.
Oh, that is a fact.
No, I don't know. I'm making that up. Listen, and here's the other thing, people. I'm a comedian. Get over it.
I didn't see that at the taco place we went to.
Listen, this isn't Lee Capreas talking. I'm a comedian.
Is this thing on?
Yeah.
Yes, I was waiting for that.
Where is he, by the way? I know you're sulking over there, Mikey, that Lee's not burping PBRs in front of you. Last show we did, which was 3 months ago before we took our hiatus.
Yeah.
I always take one of these hiatuses once a year. I call it like season three now. Season three of the Matthew Aaron Show.
Sure.
But Lee was drinking PBRs, and he was burping right in Mikey's face.
I mean, he was sitting where I'm sitting. I was sitting where you're sitting.
Yeah.
And his beer was like right here. And he'd just be like,
Mikey, how did you not end him?
Because I'm in his mother's house.
That's true.
That's what it was doing.
That's
actually the recording.
That was the recording of Lee.
Here's what I got to mention here.
Just to make you feel like Lee's here.
You've got to add something to that. You've got to add. You've got to add. That's funny, right?
He's here. There he is.
Mikey.
For people who don't know, these are actually all soundboard clips of Lee.
Lee breathing into the mic. He's right here. He's just silent today, minus all the noises.
That never happens.
You know, this would be really funny if everybody listening knew Lee.
This is how I know Marconi's not listening, because he'd be rolling down backwards in his house right now laughing.
Well, yes.
He'd be peeing himself.
Yes. Yes.
I'm getting a phone call tomorrow from El Capreas, though, I'll tell you that.
Does he listen when he's not on?
Nah, I think he knows what funny is. Yeah, he listens.
Oh, okay.
I like how you're like, does he even listen to the show if he's not on?
If he's not on, come on. Let's real talk here. If he's not on.
So you're speculating that maybe Lee
when he is
only
on,
listens to himself.
When he is on.
That's a real possibility.
Yeah. I'm not being vain here. I'm saying when he's on, he listens.
No, you're saying he's being vain.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I've been kind of thinking about something.
What's that?
I'm still the champion of Stump the Steve.
Are you the champion of Stump the Steve?
Yeah, because I fear for my life if I were to refute that. And
no,
you did win the last time anyways, so I can be a good sport.
Well, I did win the last time,
win the last time, yeah.
How many times did we compete?
Too many. You know, play Ken Hommel, Jim McCarron. They're better than me anyways.
I got to tell you,
I don't know, Steve. You were bragging the other day.
I was bragging.
You were bragging the other day. You were the Stump the Steve.
I am a stump, yeah.
For what it's worth.
You're a stump.
Yeah. I was more stumped than I stumped you. Okay. I couldn't believe it.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah.
I mean,
I went in that with no expectation, and I came out a champion.
Well, we could have a rematch after Sean calls.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it.
All right, fine. If you want.
For those listening that haven't heard before, Stump the Steve is a game where Steve Weirich here, who thinks he is the master of all TV show themes on the planet, faces off against somebody, and we play TV show themes, and whoever's usually it's like the best of five or best of seven whoever gets the most points wins. And Steve has been stumped numerous times. Jim McCarron's beat you pretty soundly.
Oh, yeah, he beat me wonderfully.
And I gave him tough ones.
You did give him very
hard
ones.
I gave him, like, the rarest, toughest questions ever because I knew McCarron's difficulty level was, extremely difficult.
Right, he's like Mike Tyson in Punch-Out.
That's
why Temple University has him teaching. That's why.
Was that what he's doing nowadays?
He teaches
kidding. I talked to him.
I say, you don't know what he's doing?
No, I love Jim. Jim is the great – I mean, I'm not even kidding when I say this. Jim, not only one of our most frequent guests on the show, I think he's a three-timer on the Matthew Aaron Show. But Jim McCarron is the greatest person, like, of all time. He's just a great human being. You met Jim at the Dining Day.
I did finally meet
him. What a great guy, right?
Great dude.
Yeah, great guy. Great guy.
Wow.
What else do we have going on?
Well, I do need to apologize that you were belched at. That's kind of rude. If I was drinking PBR, I would probably walk away from the table. That's a cloud.
I'll tell you what's kind of rude. Trying to get off of Facebook and they won't let you.
That's extremely rude.
You know what? I'm not over this.
That's like when you're a girl at a party and some guy wants to fuck you and you just don't want to have anything of it.
Are you saying Facebook's raping you?
Yes. Yes, I
guess. I would maybe put those two analogies a little.
Yeah,
distance.
There's
a distance on those two things.
There's a huge distance.
I mean,
Jezebel's writing an article right now about what a terrible human being you are.
Yeah,
They should take a number. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well.
Yeah, you're, Facebook's not slipping you the date rape drug.
No.
No.
You still are upset that you can't get off.
Fox News won't hire you right now.
No.
That's how bad a shape you're in.
No, but that's not because of that. That's because I didn't blow them properly.
Oh, that's true. Steve applied for a job at Fox News.
Yeah, I did.
Is this a true story? Oh, no, wait.
No,
it was Charles that did.
Charles
applied for a job at Fox News.
But he's the right-leaning, isn't he?
But here's the thing. What production experience does Charles have to?
Well, they all want news.
I think Charles is applying for anything right now.
They all want news to begin with.
Remember, he did go on an interview for a part-time bartender position at Ruby Tuesdays.
What? No, that's fake.
This is a true story.
With no benefits.
No benefits, and they flat out told him he wouldn't be really making any money.
Oh, he hates.
They go, yeah, you'd be bartending like Tuesday to like Monday to Thursday or something, and he's like, well, you know, and they're like, yeah, we pay you $4 to $30 an hour
plus tips,
and he goes, well, what kind of business do you usually do? And the manager of this Ruby Tuesdays, honest as ever, I guess, decided to tell Chuck, yeah, we really don't do any.
Yeah, they don't because it's Monday.
I wouldn't expect much Monday through Thursday at the Ruby Tuesday bar. Well, have you ever turned to like me or Lenny and you go, "What bar are we going to tonight? Ruby Tuesdays?"
Oh, that's not the only one. How about the bar at TGI Fridays?
Yeah.
Or any of them?
Yeah, or Applebee's.
Yeah, right.
Mikey, you want to go to the bar tonight? Which bar do we go to? Applebee's. You want to do Applebee's?
Yeah, who does that?
Well, obviously a lot of people with TGI Fridays. I guess they pop up everywhere. I mean, the one by my house has been popular forever. It's packed every night.
You know why? Because of people like your sister.
You know what? I don't even think she goes to, but she's a Buffalo Wild Wings. That's a different beast. That's almost, it's in some ways it's worse, in some ways it's better, I guess.
The disappointment.
If I had to, I'd say it's better.
At least Buffalo Wild Wings has a distinct theme. It's like a sports bar, and it's not TGI Fridays. TGI Fridays doesn't know what it wants to be. During the daytime, it's like a restaurant. At night, it's like a bar with food. Like, they don't know what they want to be.
No, they don't.
And I hate Fridays. I just...
Are they having an identity crisis with what they're supposed to be?
Yes.
But they're the American restaurant.
Are they really?
Yikes.
Is that their, like,
I hope not.
Slogan?
It was at one point.
No.
Applebee's is just as bad.
And they want you to belong.
Why are they not out of business? Every time I go to Applebee's...
I understand,
and I haven't been
why
in
they're
years.
Not out of business. Oklahoma City, Tulsa... Kentucky. I get that. Here's what I don't understand. Why are they in business in Naperville? Why are they in business in Chicago?
Or how about the fact that they put up an Olive Garden on North Avenue, Melrose Park?
Right. There's a Fridays.
They allowed
Isn't that crazy?
They allowed that?
I drove by it the other day.
And it's a mausoleum one, too.
I drove by it the other day, and it was like 1 a.m., and I almost crashed.
You're like, what is? Oh, my
movie.
God.
It was after the movie the other day. I went to Denny's in Oak Park, speaking of shitty restaurants.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to go to Gene and Jude's, and then I got there. It was so fucking packed. It was like 60 when we left the movie.
I would totally have came with you.
Well, I didn't think of it until I was in the car.
I know how it goes.
It was one of those things where I got in the car, and I'm like, do-do-do, Gene and Jude's. And then you get there.
You saved me from about 7 Double Dogs.
I saved you from 7 Double Dogs and a 45-minute wait.
Holy
So I go to Denny's because I go, I didn't drive out to Oak Park to not eat. Or Melrose at that point. Maywood.
Oh, you ate.
So I just drove down North Avenue. And when I was driving back, I drive by this fucking Olive Garden.
It's huge.
On North Avenue.
Right.
In Melrose Park.
That's so
where
weird.
There's Italians
everywhere. And they're eating there, aren't they?
I'm like, how is this place open? Who had the balls to open up an Olive Garden in Melrose Park? Next, they're going to put one in Oak Park and Elmwood Park. And then I'm done.
There's nowhere. There's nowhere
in
for
Elmwood?
It to go. There's nowhere. No.
Where would you put one in Elmwood?
You can't.
Wouldn't. You
can't.
Shouldn't.
There's nowhere to put it.
So yeah, that was shocking.
That is
and
shocking.
Disappointing.
I'm not even. I would call Skip and have him petition against it.
I would. I would.
I fear for their lives.
What were we talking about before? Oh, Fridays and stuff.
Friday.
How's
yeah.
there a Fridays on State Street?
What?
Wow. How?
That's weird.
It's got to be tourists.
Yeah. You didn't even know there was?
No, I didn't
oh,
know.
Oh, Mikey knows.
Yeah.
It's right on, I think,
oh,
like State Murray or something. It's right over there.
Oh, yeah, no, I've seen that.
It's right over there. It's huge.
Yeah, it is big.
Here's how you know.
I mean, I get a Weber grill, right? Rock
which they
bottom.
Have. Which
I
they
get
have.
It. I get
both
it.
Of
okay,
those.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Fridays?
That's
and it's
weird.
Been there for like, that Bennigan's on Michigan Avenue.
And Adams? Still not out
or
of that.
Or Satan Adams. Was there, no, was it Michigan Adams?
It's Michigan and Adams.
Michigan and Adams. It's still not out of business.
No, it's not.
And the company's out of business.
That yeah. that Bennigan's is like, I think it's one of like 12 Bennigan's left in the United States.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They all went out of business. That one's in business. How?
And actually, how? Not only is it in business, they remodeled their entire restaurant. They have a whole new menu. It's actually, you know what, to be honest with you, their food's actually gotten better.
Maybe it did. Maybe it did. But how's it in business? I'll give you another example. So what's the Hawaiian joint I like that closed behind Gibson's? The one I like, the mahi, the with the mai tais and the drinks and
behind
the
downtown.
Yeah, behind Gibson's on Rush.
I know what you're talking about. I can't think of the name of it.
The one that's in Oakland that we want to go to. The originals in Oakland.
Oh, Trader Vic's.
Trader Vic's. They closed down Trader Vic's. You know what they put in? First of all, there's 7 fucking pizza places on Rush Street as it is.
Yeah.
Lou Malnati's doing killer business. You have my the homemade pizza company across the street. They do a separate kind of thing from Lou's. They do killer business. Connie's Pizza.
What?
First of all, this space cannot be any cheaper than like
Connie's is
10 to it's got to be 15 grand to lease that space a month minimum.
Why is Connie's? Well, I don't understand why Connie's is popular.
Because the one on the south side was like the place to go outside of Home Run and Pizza 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah, the original Connie's.
30 years ago.
Yeah, but the original Connie's thin crust was good.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
It was. The Connie's pizza they served at Comiskey Park forever, that was that like pseudo fake deep dish shit, was terrible.
Well, now they serve DiGiorno's. And it almost makes me want to have the pseudo fake.
No, I much rather would have had Connie's pick.
Rika, I remember one year the United Center was in the middle of negotiations with Connie's over the pizza because they weren't getting the pizza back. So that year they served Rico Benny's.
Wow.
And I'm like, well, I guess I'm not going to any more Hawks games this year.
No. And Chuck hates his job so much that he wants to bartend a Ruby Tuesday.
So tell me, but that's what I'm saying. So this Trader Vic's,
yeah.
It's a big place. Have you ever been inside Trader Vic's?
Yeah.
It's huge. It's huge. There's 2 levels. It goes deep.
It was there for a while, too.
It was there forever. Forever. I think the 70s.
And now it's a Fridays?
No, now it's a Connie's.
Oh, no, it's Connie's.
First of all, how's Connie's affording that? Second of all, how are they going to afford it month after month? There's no way they're breaking even at that place.
Well, there's Connie's everywhere. Like, and they're, like, secretive, though, because you look up Connie's.
I know.
And you'll be like, oh, it's like the Connie's Buffet across the street from my work over in Naperville that you'd never know is there.
They are in all the spots that, like, no one else is near to, which is the other thing. They are like the Connie's on Ogden. Well, what else is there other than Scuttlebutt's down the block? And Scuttlebutt's is way better than Connie's if you're going to do pie. But there's not another pie joint on Ogden over there.
You know, it sounds kind of good as Mama. What's that place, Mama T's or something?
How good's Mrs. T's?
Mrs. T's
that
is very
thin,
good.
That cracker thin crust.
Or Cassano's.
They do it right.
You still do Cassano's?
I love Cassano's.
Oh, I was hoping. I thought you were going to say you're out of the Cassano's.
I have a love hate relationship.
Do you?
Yeah, him and I have the same problem.
What's
with Cassano's?
Wrong with Cassano's?
The people. But we enjoy the food. Mikey and I both like the food. It's
the people.
That the service isn't out. Put it this way. The service isn't what you want.
Whoa. How is the service?
I don't
want to
get into the air.
Yeah, we don't want to get personal about it. But
it's like a takeout.
It goes beyond just customer service and the family relations and territories and heritage and things that we're not getting into.
How are they rude? It's a takeout only.
Shut the.
That's right. That's how they're rude, right?
It's a rhetorical
it
question.
It goes, shut the...
I'm not saying that you need to explain.
I'm trying to censor myself on your radio show.
I know. Sean's going to come on in a minute. I got to call him. But,
That's sad. I'm just saying that's sad. It's a takeout-only place if they're that bad.
Why are you so offended by this?
Because he loves Cassano.
Well, I just like
the
food.
He does love it.
I do like the food, and I'm shocked that at a takeout-only place, you're in there to grab your food and leave, yeah? Well, they're awful then. That's got to be pretty bad.
We'll get to it another time.
It's bad enough that I don't go all the time.
Well, right. I'm just saying.
Put it that way, because it's really good pie.
You have to be a...
I almost feel weird giving them a plug.
Well,
put it that way, and I love the pie.
You have to be a grade-A expletive
word. But the point of the story was, how's Connie's going to make money there? But anyways, let's call Sean. We'll talk about the boys of Abu Ghraib. We'll talk about Mom's Night Out with Patricia Heaton. And Trace Atkins is in, who I love. I love Trace Atkins.
Yeah.
And then we Vox Populi as well, of course. And I'm so excited. Oh, don't forget, we got to talk Goonies too. And I know Sean just probably heard it, so he knows it's coming. But all right, call failed or was not answered. Why was the call failed?
You got a voicemail.
Something happened.
Is Sean not answering for me? Hold on,
Mikey. I didn't want to tick you off. I was just shocked.
You're not trying to leave him.
I'm not. No, I don't have a PBR to burp in your face like a smelly burp. Jeez, I don't know. I excuse myself.
Breaking Bad Frozen.
They're not letting me call Sean right now.
I physically remove myself if I got a belch PBR. I'm just saying.
There we go.
There
we go. Too many hyphens. Yeah.
Hello, hello.
Sean, how you doing, pal?
Oh, my goodness. As I live and breathe, I'm doing well. How are you doing?
It's my old friend, Sean Anthony. How you doing? I see you're doing well, pal.
You sounded like Joey. How you doing? things are going well. It's funny. I've been doing publicity for a few different things, and all of a sudden, it makes it seem like you're the busiest person in the world. Never mind that, you know, some of the stuff you did like a year and a half ago and a year ago, and it all seems to be bunching up and coming out at the same time.
Well, what I was going to tell you, here's why I think you're busy, is Vox Populi, and I really want to talk about that because this kind of happened right after you did the show, and
yeah.
I'm like, this mother, he comes on the show, okay, and this is when Sean just got on Twitter. So Sean's big thing was, okay, I need to build a Twitter following. He did that. I mean, when this guy sets his mind to something, this is what I've seen with the marathons that he runs, then with Twitter, and now with Vox Populi. When Sean says, I'm going to get something done and do it, he does it, and he builds an audience for it. And I want to talk about Vox Populi because you just started your second season, and then you have your first official show tomorrow, right, for the second season?
May 1st.
Oh, it's May
1st. We did a big announcement. When I say big, I just mean... It felt important to me, but it was at the Federal Building in Los Angeles on Tax Day. I decided that would be a nice symbolic place and day to announce that all the Kickstarter backers, you know, who had supported the show, could now, you know, lock in a date for their for the first episode of the second season.
Why was it important for you to do a Kickstarter campaign? I want you to explain to everybody the legacy that has started of Vox Populi, the story that has started around, because I think how you started the show is fascinating, which you can talk about the Lovitz Comedy Club and how it grew from there. And then talk about the Kickstarter campaign, because I find...
All right, so first of all, I've always wanted to do a political show, always. And whenever I had... movies that were moderately successful, and I'd be in new conversations with agents or managers and things, I'd always say, well, what about a political talk show? You know, and it was like I took a big dump right in the middle of the room. You know, people just could not get behind the idea of talk. They're like, why would you want to alienate at least half of the people, and then maybe a half of the people that are still left with you because they agree with you because you didn't do it right? So that we sort of let it go for a long time. The Twitter thing, for me, when I was sitting in my bed and watched the Tahrir Square Arab Spring, when they overthrew, in Egypt, they overthrew Hosni Mubarak. He'd been a dictator for like 35 years there. A dictator with a good relationship with the United States, never mind. But anyhow, I just thought, wow, what is going on with Twitter? I need to figure this thing out. If I ever want to have my own revolution, I'm going to need a Twitter handle. So I first did a little thing where I helped Edward James Olmos and Robert Kennedy Jr. out with their Waterkeeper Alliance goal to boost up their Twitter following. And, you know, I tweeted every 2 seconds for 3 days until everybody said if I didn't stop, they would hurt me. And then I kind of – the run third – I call it a movement. I have a way of characterizing myself and things I'm doing as much more important than other people might think they are, but I don't care what you think. They're important to me. So Run Third was this beautiful thing where I run first for myself, I run second for my wife and family, and I run third for you. And it was an inspirational campaign, Twitter following campaign. So if you wanted to dedicate, you know, something to a loved one, you'd say, you know, Run Third. I just got one just now. I just looked at one that said Run Third for my sister who passed away today. She lost her fight with cancer. That was right before I called me on the show. And then if I wear hashtag RUN3RD, I'm symbolically running on behalf of all those people. And it was amazing. It was a huge thing. You were part of it over there at the John Lovitz comedy club at the Universal City Walk, and I went up there to be on your show and to promote the Run Third thing for no other reason than when I put out my mission statement, I kind of wrote a little mission statement of who I was and why I was doing that and why running was important to me. A whole lot of energy came back at me. The people of the LA Marathon wanted to do a profile piece with me. KTLA came and did a thing. This was not me like reaching out to them. This was them seeing what I was doing and thinking it was cool. And then it became a thing. They put me on the cover of Runner's World, and I'm like Forrest Gump. I'm like, you know, running and running. I'm not sure I was doing that. But when I walked into that comedy club and I saw this, what had been set up with you guys and there and Frank at the Toad Hop Network, it was very instantly clear to me that this was something that I could do. I could tell that he was trying to, you know, he had lots of shows and probably could use a lot more. And so, you know, while I was in the green room getting ready to do your show, I was trying to make a deal for you know, on the spot for my political show. And I ended up going and seeing Frank, the owner of the station, at his place, and we shook hands and basically, I got to have a show, and it was the guys who probably worked on your show doing the graphics and stuff who did it. And I did 36 episodes there, the first probably 20 or so out of the Toad Hop Theater at Universal City Walk. And then they had their split, the Lovitz folks and the Toad Hop folks. So I went over with the Toad Hop folks where my arrangement was with them. I had never even met any of the other people. And they set up shop at Hollywood and La Brea. And so I did probably another 15 or 16 there. And I was doing all of it. I mean, aside from Johnny Ice, who was our board operator, amazing, love Johnny, it was basically for me to, like, track down the guests and pick the episodes or the topics and do the research and deal with all the little things that go into it. I was doing it all, and I just got burned out. And so I stopped. I went on a hiatus because I didn't want to admit that it was over. And then I decided, you know what, I'm going to do a Kickstarter. And the day the government shut down, I don't remember the date offhand, but the day the government shut down last year, I think it was probably in August or September, I was watching it on the news, and I just popped open my computer and just started going into the Kickstarter thing. I used the video that had been created the first day of the show, of the original show, put that right in a little queue there. And then I didn't launch it right away, but within a couple of weeks, I got up the stones to do it, and I pushed send, and then as soon as you push send, then this is where I think what you said is true a little bit about my perseverance, because I did not want to be a guy who, you know, asked for $30,000 and then failed. So right. I was just a maniac, emailing everyone I knew, calling everyone. It wasn't even about the money at a certain point. It was about proving the idea of the concept. And then it took off.
I mean, it's a competitive side of you. I mean, I'm the same way. I get it.
So, but then it took off, and we had a bunch of volunteers come in, and we started what we call Team Vox, because the show is Vox Populi, Voice of the People. Actually, it's become Vox Populi Radio, but it started as Vox Populi, Voice of the Occasionally Interested People. It was kind of a little tongue-in-cheek play on the fact that nobody wants to talk about politics, except for the 9 wingnuts, who we see the same people on the same news shows every 10 minutes. But, you know, normal people are really mostly, I've found, reticent to talk about politics, because the second they open their mouth, no matter what they say, somebody is going to attack them for something. And so I want to do a show where people can be invited into a safe place and we can talk about things and not know anything. I'm not an expert. That's my little get out of jail free card right there. It's like,
That's kind of the intrigue for you doing a show. I think that's kind of why you're going to have a lot of listeners. You do have a lot of listeners, and people listening to you is because it's to them it's like the normal guy talking about politics. It's like when Mikey and Steve or Chucky and I talk about politics. We're not politicians. It's just the way we're seeing how things are going on. No really affiliation. If it's something we care about and we do the research on, we're going to give you our version of what we think. And I find that to be the interesting thing about your show is you're not really affiliated with any – you're not MSNBC, which is liberal. You're not Fox News, which is Republican. You're Sean Astin.
Well, I'm a Democrat, but yeah. More important than being a Democrat in the context of the show is I want to be someone who's genuinely interested. So I don't care who I talk to. The difference is I really don't impugn the motives. I don't attack somebody I don't assume that their position is based in some meanness or something bad or wrong or hateful. I take as a, until you show me otherwise, I trust that you're a good-hearted, smart person who's come to your opinion the way you've come to it, and I want to understand it because I'll understand my own argument a little better. I'll see where the weakness is in your argument. I'll also see where the weaknesses are in my argument. And maybe, like, in that process, we're able to somehow, bend the arc of progress in the right direction. My show is not about changing people's opinion. It's about expressing your own opinion and feeling good about it. I mean, we can talk about anything you want to talk about, and you would find whether you and I are totally opposite or not, you would get the same level of curiosity and respect for your opinion. That's the key. It's the key to listening. It's the key to conflict resolution. You got to really be willing to listen.
Has there ever been a time where Republicans have come on your show and gotten you to change your mind a little bit on your opinions?
Well, a lot of my Democrat friends are sure I'm a Republican.
Yeah,
because,
right.
And my wife always says that I'm a front runner because I'm a Lakers fan. And back in the heyday of Michael Jordan, when we were doing Rudy, we got to hang out with Jordan and the Bulls and all them. Right at the apex of that whole movement, that whole Chicago Bulls, tidal wave.
That was like 92, 93. Yeah, that's
you. It's exactly right. My wife's like, you're such a front runner. You love the Lakers today, but then tomorrow when we go to be with the Bulls, you're going to love the Bulls. She's like, and she's a big fan of the Cubs. She's a huge fan. I think if the Cubs ever win, my wife is going to say again?
They're the front runnerest team ever, the Cubs. They're always winning.
Well, that's it. They're the front runner team if what you're trying to prove is that you're loyal. It's like I think if they ever win, she's going to be disappointed because you can't prove how loyal she is anymore.
Well, let me ask you. So VoxPopuliRadio.com is where you can go listen to Sean's show. May 1st is the first show back. I want to bring up, of course, the Boys of Abu Ghraib, and I want to bring up. I would be the worst interviewer ever if I did not ask about Goonies 2, which I'm sure you've been bombarded about. But
why I actually called in tonight.
Is that why, Goonies 2?
Yeah, I have news to make.
Okay.
I'm kidding. I'm sorry. That was just mean.
Yeah, that's a tease. So Goonies 2, first of all, is it real?
According to Steven Spielberg and Richard Donner, who are the two people that make it real, the answer is yes.
I guess I trust them.
Well, they've been wanting to do it for a long time. They've developed lots of screenplays. I don't know if lots is the right number or right amount, but they've developed screenplays, and they've just never been had it to where they want to. They're ready to pull the trigger to go, but at some point, it has to happen. I've always maintained that it is a 100% certainty that the sequel will get made. Maybe not in my lifetime or yours, but it will get done. And then all you have to do is look at the merchandising they sell and look at how many times it's screened outdoors all around the country all summer long. It's people want it. So when people want something that bad, if you're a studio and you don't give it to them, I don't know.
Are you shocked they haven't done a remake instead of a sequel, Sean? Because you just said if
no, I think I don't think I like they that. Made. Here's what I'm shocked about. I'm shocked that they haven't done an animated series. I thought this was tailor-made for an animated series, because if they did it and it didn't capture the magic, there's no harm, no foul. It's an animated show and it'll go away. And if it's good, then it's an annuity that can just keep going. Dick always talked about doing a musical, which would be hilarious. I have absolute faith. And by the way, I don't know if I'll be in it. I don't know if the other actors, you know, who were in the original Goonies will be in it. But I have every feeling that it will get made as a sequel. Maybe it'll get redone at some point. It wouldn't make sense to me. The logic of that wouldn't make sense. I'm not sure who would want that.
Do you not get any inside info on this process, though, if there's going to be a Goonies 2 or not?
Not really.
Obviously, you're an actor. You're not writing the movie.
Unless you call my buddy Corey Feldman at Inside Info. Because Corey knows stuff.
Yeah, that's kind of what's crazy for me, is how does Corey have all this? I mean, I saw Corey on TMZ talking about Goonies 2, and he says, I may not do it, and blah, blah, blah. And, I mean, I know how Corey is. He's great on Howard Stern, and he's always just kind of doing his thing. But I find it hard to believe Corey Feldman's on the inside track and not Sean Astin.
Yeah.
You're wrong. You're just wrong.
Am I wrong? Corey,
you're wrong, yeah. Because Corey calls Dick all the time, and he goes to visit him, and I'm not sure if he sees Steven as much anymore, but, you know, Corey has... don't count that brother out. He knows what he's doing. He's a pretty shrewd guy. And when here's the thing. If one of them, Steven or Dick, says to Corey that they're thinking about doing it, Corey is really, he takes them at face value, he believes them, and he's ready to go out and say, hey, you know, this is really happening. So if it then doesn't happen, I think it's not a reflection of Corey, other than, you know, maybe he didn't play it as close to the vest as he could have, but why should he? If Dick looks him in the eye and says, we're doing it, and the guy goes out and says, we're doing it, then we're doing it until time goes by.
I don't doubt Corey, but it's exactly what you said. In my wording, it's Corey is a master promoter. You know, he's kind of like a Vince McMahon, where he goes out there and he'll promote it, but he'll there's a lot of hyperbole sometimes when Corey promotes, is all I'm saying. So
All of us are like that, and when we lose credibility, it's you know, but my friend used to say to me that reputations are hard to earn and easy to lose. So I find that Corey, you know, when he's got his music, when he's got his book that he's putting out there, when he's got other things and he's out there promoting, I find him terribly credible. When he's out there talking about friends of his who are famous and have issues, I find him very authentic and believable. When it comes to some of the other stuff, I don't know. He's like my brother. We're friends. Corey does not apologize for who he is. If Corey wants to dance, and he wants to dance in a certain way, he dances. And I think there's something so beautiful about that. It's easy for us to chop down, but I think he's my buddy.
And I am not chopping down Corey Feldman. I love Corey Feldman. I grew up.
It's an outrage. No, I'm kidding.
By the way, I do want to say also, if for our listeners, even though Sean's the one calling in, Corey Feldman's book is outstanding. And if you want a really good piece of, like, Hollywood biography to read, it's Corey Feldman's book. I'm telling you. Sean will tell
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I've talked to, in the parent circuit, you know, when you got kids in school and parents are standing around talking and did you see this, did you see that people have... a couple have told me and several have told my wife that they looked at it and they just were blown away by it. So I think, I haven't read it yet. I don't know. It's like reading my friend's diary or something.
It's a little weird. It's a little weird for you to read it, I'm sure, too, because your name's probably, you know. I mean, if my friend wrote a book, Steve's written, he has his memoir that he wants put out, and I'm like, well, I know my name's in it, so I ain't reading it.
Just a little bit. We did live together, so yeah, you're there.
The way it works in Hollywood is, and maybe it works in I'm sure it works in politics and maybe in business stuff too, but as soon as a book comes out, you race right to the index and you look up your name and then you go to the four pages where your name's mentioned and then you're like, this book is terrible, it's an outrage. It's like, how do you know? You just read the two paragraphs with your name in it.
Right.
Let me ask you about The Boys of Abu Ghraib. This movie is made by a first-time director, writer, actor, his name is slipping me at the moment.
Luke Moran.
Thank you, Luke Moran. Who's very good.
Who, and, by the way, not for nothing, was with me that day I came to do your show.
Was he?
Yeah, he was in the green room with me that day.
No one tells me anything. I don't know. We're making a film right now where I wrote it and I'm producing it and I'm acting in it and directing it. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is such a crazy process. This is his first film. And by the way, I don't have Edward Zwick as my EP.
Well, he didn't either.
Oh, really?
He didn't either. No, I think Ed Zwick, who is one of my heroes, one of the legends. I love Ed Zwick. I think he came into it in the last stages of post-production.
So I could be
wrong with that, but to the best of my knowledge, that's true.
Do you know how this film got made? I'm curious about this.
Yeah, I think he had like a lemonade stand. He and his mom. I mean, when I got there, his mom and dad were doing craft service. I mean, it was a down and dirty, low bud indie. And when you look at the final version of it, it just blows my mind how much production value and how realistic he made it look.
Well, you guys filmed in a New Mexico penitentiary, correct?
Yeah.
And I mean, it looks it. I gotta tell you too. I don't know how low budget is. I know you probably don't. I will tell you this: it doesn't look low budget. If you watch this film, this looks as good as anything you'll see in theaters or on TV. Like, it looks great. The DP on it did a great job. It looks phenomenal. It's such a crazy movie for me because politically, and you kind of play, I wouldn't say you play a bad guy. Would you consider what you play in this movie a bad guy?
Well, just to set the context for your audience, so this is a story about a soldier who is sort of bored with his assignment, and he ends up volunteering to go over to Abu Ghraib and to work in the hard site, which is where those pictures were taken that everybody knows about with, was it Krasinski or whatever her name was, with the dog, and they've got the prisoners naked and stacked on top of each other and with the hoods over their faces, and just the horrible, horrible imagery that we remember from 2004 of that incident. So Luke Moran wrote and produced and directed this piece where he takes kind of I don't want to say a non-committal role, but he takes an open-faced look at it where you follow him, he goes in, he sees what's happening, he meets me. I'm the one who kind of, it's a small part, but I introduce him to the hard site, which is like this inner chamber within the inner chamber. It's you're deep in to the prison when you're in the hard site, and supposedly the worst of the worst, worst terrorists, worst criminals are in there. And I'm just kind of showing him the round. You know, this is what we do here. This is what you do there. Don't talk to him. Don't do this. Take your name tag off so they don't send a mail bomb to your house and back in America and this. And I'm very coarse. My character is a very coarse guy. He's not a lot of he doesn't have a lot of sympathy for the prisoners. He doesn't seem like an out-and-out racist, but when push comes to shove, literally physically in there, he has no problem, you know, hurling racial epithets, and he's just a guy who is a product of that environment, and then Luke goes from there. His character goes on to, you know, to see even worse treatment and to ultimately stick up for one of the soldiers who he's gotten to be friends with. Because you spend like hours, you know, a whole shift, 8-hour shift, just sitting there with these guys, and what do? You know, there's no traffic in and out of there, so. So anyhow, it was,
He befriends one of the prisoners. I don't want to get too much in. I don't want to give it away. But he befriends one of the prisoners, and it kind of unravels from there. But I agree with you, Sean. He doesn't really take a – I don't think he really takes a political stance. I would say that it comes from the point of view, obviously, of a character who's just in this environment. And that's why I'm saying about your character, I don't know if I'd necessarily call him a bad guy. I think you're right. The best way to put it is you're a product of the environment.
The one moment in the movie, and my character has it, but it's very, very subtle, and it goes by very fast, is he says to me, hey, are we supposed to be doing this? And I just give him this look.
Right. You give just
so what he knows is you don't want to have soldiers – and families and military support groups looking at your first film and saying that you're, you know, unpatriotic, that you're anti-American, you know, and how dare you're a liberal, lefty liberal. You know, you don't want those things when you're making the movie. At the same time, you want to point out when there's stuff that's gone wrong, and this is why the moral complexity of that space, really a lot of the responsibility goes up the food chain. It goes up the food chain. These sort of techniques and some of the culture that's allowed to exist, I mean, everybody has to be responsible for their own behavior, their own actions at every level. But the one area that didn't really get full airing was the extent to which, you know, officers down the chain and all the way up. All the way up. I mean, I just watched a documentary called the Unknown Knowns or the, something like that. With do you know the one I'm talking about?
Yep. Someone someone pointed out to me literally like a week ago.
Yeah, it's with Donald Rumsfeld,
right.
And he's interviewed in it, and striking, eerily similar a documentary to the one with McNamara called Fog of War, where you see these Secretaries of Defense years after wars that they presided over, and the thinking is so convoluted and tortured when they're explaining things that you just it's really shocking. And so, you know, when he's asked about in this documentary about these interrogation techniques and what was allowed and what wasn't allowed and what they were aware of and what they weren't aware of and how they handled things and what's clear, you know, what do you have clearance to talk about. And you watch that documentary and then you watch a movie like this and you sort of go, you know, I guess when it comes right down to it, most Americans are willing to just close our eyes, put our hands over our ears, and pray that the people in charge are going to take care of us.
Yeah.
And then every now and then, people overreact, and they start screaming and yelling, and they want to throw the whole baby out with the bathwater about everything that our government is capable of and all the great advancements we've made. And somewhere in the balance, where real responsibility has to be levied and real accountability has to come from, it that sort of gets lost. So I think what Luke's was trying to go for was to show like a story that in the way that it might have happened with a guy who was wanted to be a good soldier and had a conscience, you know.
I want to say it's so funny you brought up the Unknown Known, which is an Errol Morris film. He's one of our best documentarian filmmakers alive ever, actually. He gets someone like Donald Rumsfeld to talk about things he probably would never talk about otherwise. And Errol Morris co-wrote a book that came out, I believe, 5-6 years ago called The Ballad of Abu Ghraib. So that's kind of funny. Errol's very committed to this this story as well. And I just think The Boys of Abu Ghraib is a very fascinating movie to watch. It's a great first film for Luke Moran. I feel like it says to me Luke Moran's a real artist too, because obviously, like, we're doing our film and it's about straight men and gay men and their relationships, and that can be a controversial topic. Just like The Boys of Abu Ghraib, that's a controversial topic. And when you decide with your first film that you're not going to give a shit about that, you're just going to go out and do it, I think that says what kind of artist you are. So I think that's fantastic.
Well, I wish you luck with your film, man. I think there needs to be more movies that wade into that environment. There's still, you know, there's still a culture that exists of awkwardness and discomfort. I mean, forget about all the bullying and that sort of stuff that gets done. Even when you say, okay, we're not going to talk about gay marriage, we're not going to talk about, you know, gay bashing, we're not going to talk, but now how do just people relate to each other?
That's what the movie's about. And, we were just talking earlier before he came on about how it's not a political movie. It's not left-leaning, it's not right-leaning. What it is it's about, can straight men and gay men be close friends? What are the issues with it? And it's done as a comedy, but it's supposed to send the message that, like, what are we afraid of? We can all be friends. This is not a big deal.
It's human issues.
We box ourselves, we label ourselves, and we do these things to ourselves that kind of automatically separate us from other people. And that's something that we really need to work on as a society.
I'm so reticent to do this joke because it's like it can be fun. But the point I'm going to make with the joke is that when you're doing it and you believe in what you're doing, it doesn't come off as offensive because you're in it. Certain people can say jokes, and if somebody else said it, you just go, wow. So the joke was what do you call a black man on the moon?
What do you
an
call
astronaut, it? You racist.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So there's just certain words like Obamacare. There's just certain things that instantly fire people up. And if you're gay in certain quarters in this country, man, it just being gay, just saying that either the word homosexual or something like that, it's like calling somebody a racist. It's the easiest thing to do, and it's the hardest thing to take back. Once you throw it out there, it's like you've got paint all over you, and you can't do anything about it. So I think that Luke was so clever that his intelligence, it comes on so many different levels. First of all, he's a great looking guy. Talk about gay. That guy's good looking, but he's a good looking guy, and he's really smart. He's really clever, and he was really, really patient. He was really patient. I mean, just in finishing the film. It just came out now. It was almost 2 years. You know, and he never seemed like a guy who was desperate. He never seemed like a guy who was hungry or that he was kind of out of rope. He was just at each moment he was playing. He was not playing the cards, but he was riding the rhythms to be able to get the resources he need and to make the associations to get Ed Zwick involved, and for example, and like that. So, and on the set he was very calm and focused and relaxed and patient. I mean, I just, it's surprising to see that somebody who's got the kind of ambition that he clearly does knows how to just chill the heck out.
What kind of director was he? Was he really involved with you to prep for this role, or did he just kind of let you do your thing? What kind of direction did he even give you?
Well, just agreeing to do the movie, you know, you talk about controversial. I jumped right in. I mean, the one thought I had was, and it was the second time I had it, actually. The first time was on Law and Order, where I played this Christian minister who was being... Did you ever see that? No, you wouldn't have seen that.
I did. No, I did see it. I loved Law and Order. It's my favorite show.
I know, but there's 4,000 of them. The odds that you saw the one that I was in is not high.
Law and Order. You were on Law and Order. I think it was like the last season it was on, or the second to last season.
Second to last, yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I played this Christian minister who's accused of murder because he got one of his students or parishioners or whatever to go and kill somebody. And when he's on the stand, he goes thundering about the Muslim infidels, and you know, we have to raise up an army of Christian warriors. And it was a great scene. I love doing it. But right before you do it, you sort of think, huh, am I gonna offend a lot of people when I do this? Is it worth? Is art? Is drama worth risking? You know, offending people who might not understand it, the cultural context, who might just flat out hate what you said. And in both cases, that one and this one, The Boys of Abu Ghraib, I just thought, you know, if you're an actor, you have to be willing to take that risk. You have to be willing to go there and do it. And part of it is because part of what's interesting about it is that you don't know what the outcome is. The results of the actual incident, I mean, certain soldiers had to do jail time. Others were given a slap on the wrist. Some people got off scot-free. And then, you know, the whole military took a hit. The whole country took a hit, really, based on those images that came out. And so it's not, we haven't really, you know, our country is pretty slow at processing things like slavery and a treatment of the Native Americans and, you know, something like that where we're, you know, torturing people in a heinous way. It takes us a long time as a country to figure out where to put that in our conscience. And so this doing this movie, when it was sent to me, it was very clear that it was doing that. You know, it was wrestling with how to make sense of it all. And so I just started. He did not give me any specific guidance about what he wanted me to do to be prepared, but I took it seriously and I read several books and I studied. Footage that I could get a hold of, and there's a lot available, surprising amount available. I went through the nightmares that you have when you, if you really study that stuff and you think carefully about what happened to people, the rendition that went on, and whether you're for or against or anything, just as a human being, trying to figure out what other human beings do to each other sometimes is catastrophic. And then when we got there, there wasn't that much time. It was a low budget movie. So when we got there, he was just hoping that everybody who showed up knew what they were supposed to do and would do it, but he was very, so in that sense they hired the right people. There was a feeling among everyone on the crew, the Muslims, the Christians, the Jewish people, everybody on the film felt like we were doing something that was meaningful. You know, if you finish a day of work and you go, I think I did something valuable today with my work, there's not much more that you can ask for out of your life, really. And we felt like we did that every night that I was there. We certainly felt that way. And he, you know, when it came to setting up the camera, he was more than willing to hear, you know, maybe you should look over here, maybe it should do that, or maybe the other thing. But then oftentimes he didn't need to make suggestions because it was very clear that he knew what he wanted, which is all you could ask for in a director, is if when they show up and you show up, they know what they want, ultimately. Because if because somebody has to, for Pete's sake.
Right.
And he did, and he was very, he kept his focus as an actor. It was pretty It's pretty great. It was a pretty great experience watching him. I have as much respect for Luke in his setting as I do for other filmmakers in other gigantic settings.
Let me ask you, and then I'll let you go, a final question for you, because it's a Vox Populi. So let's plug Vox Populi by asking you a political question. My experience from living in L.A. is, and now being in Chicago filming this movie, so I'm not in L.A., and I get the separation of the two cities really well right now. Do you feel like, especially in the film business, that people in L.A. kind of live in a political bubble? They really don't know how things are like in the Midwest and the Mid-South and in the Southeast and those territories, that they have an idea, but they don't really.
Well, I know the phenomenon you're describing. First of all, I ran the Chicago Marathon last year in October. And so hey, Chicago, what's up?
Yeah, I tried to do that.
The Bank of America Chicago Marathon.
Yeah, I didn't get in the lottery, so...
Is it really? Is it a lottery? Is that full?
It's a
guys
lotto,
like
yeah.
Sean surpassed
yeah,
the lotto.
Yeah, it's a lottery right now, unless you want to raise money. So maybe you raised money, or maybe it's because it's you. But they told me not this time. I didn't make the lottery. So
how much ahead of time did you check?
I gave it January is as soon as you can do it. You know, I entered the lottery as soon as I could.
Mm.
So
it is a lottery because my friend just found out he's in for this October.
Yeah, for this.
And like he didn't like I'm like, what do you mean you just found out? You sign up and you go. And
no.
I realize that it's not like that.
No, it's not. And because I've been running and trying to get to marathon distance. And
do they look at pictures? Do you think they profile?
They might.
Funniest thing I ever heard. No, it's an audition thing. You go, you show up, you got to sign in. So a person sits, so how long you been running?
I think lottery is a nice way of them saying select.
Yeah, captain.
Yeah, it probably is because, I'm short and stout. I don't think they want to see me gas my way across.
No, probably not. So, Sean, but do you really feel like there is this, bubble in L.A. when it comes to politics?
I think sometimes there can be. I think sometimes there can be a sense that, Hollywood I definitely think that the idea that Hollywood is all liberal is off base. I know a lot of people who are conservatives, and they always feel beat up on, like, hey, I exist in Hollywood, and everybody says it's a and my opinions aren't counted for because I'm not a liberal. But so I think that there is the kind of Prius culture. I have a Prius, so there's a Prius culture kind of a thing. But what I think more than that obvious kind of insulated vibe, I think everywhere all over the country, people lock into certain ways in which news are pervaded, the Fox News and MSNBC and even the CNN and just the way media kind of organizes itself and the cycles, the story cycles that they come in. I find that people have the same, it's groupthink all over. I don't think LA gets to hold the candle by itself anymore of being the kind of insulated place. I think everybody's a little bit out of touch with in a lot of ways with everywhere else. It really takes getting out of airports, and you have to go places and interact with people. I do it when I do these conventions, the comic book conventions, and I'll sit there and I'll meet say 400 people, over a day and a half, and much of them is similar, much of the interactions are similar, compliments and that kind of stuff. But then you do kind of get a sense of people's, of the variety of thinking that's out there. And when it gets right down to it, we all have so much more in common, so much more that we need to have in common than not, that, I think shows like yours and shows like mine that give people an opportunity to talk about who they are and where they're from. I mean, it always gets good. Yesterday I did, this will be a good plug for my show. If they go to raiseyourvox.com or voxpopularradio.com, they'll see a little thing that I recorded with the iPad at the Federal Building at Wilshire and Veteran.
Yes.
Basically, I just wanted to kind of make...
I learned a lot
say
about
the
video. Well, that video, you kind of give your whole past. I kind of learned a lot about you from that video that I didn't all know.
Yeah, my wife's like, you didn't have to say all that. But it means something, doesn't it? I'm standing in front of a federal building. There are a bunch of flags waving around. It's tax day. I have a radio show. I'm right across from the Veterans Hospital and the Veterans Memorial, the Veterans Cemetery. And it would be very easy to show up at a place, that has some emotion to it, some ideas connected to it, and have it be superficial. Have it be, basically a backdrop for you to make your case. And I just thought it was important to say, like, no, this is where I played Little League, right around the corner, and that's where I grew up, right down the street. And like, so the fact that I'm standing here on this grass right now in front of this federal building where people right now are inside working, I feel like, and they're taking money from me, they're collecting money from me today, and from most Americans today, they're collecting. I have every right to stand here and espouse my opinion and say that I want to create a place where we can come together and talk and ask questions and answer them and stuff. So I'm glad you took a look at that, and I hope others do as well.
No, it's a great video, and I love the review, the poster of all the reviews from people that listen to your show on the page. And he has all these quotes from people that listen to the show and follow the show, and it just goes to show you how dedicated people are to the show. And I think the best quote is, unlike me, who likes the sound of my own voice, Sean didn't do his show just to be heard. He wanted to hear the people. And I think that's a great quote. I'll never get that quote. So,
no, but you know what you did for this whole interview? You listened really well. So that's a pretty good thing. I did all the talking.
Thank you. And thanks for teaching me Twitter still, Sean. I appreciate it. And
I love you. Good for you. I hope your show goes for a million years, and good luck with your movie. Hey, why didn't you cast me in that movie? I'm sure I could have played a gay guy. Come on.
It's a little lower budget than even The Boys of Abu Ghraib. Put it that way.
Yeah.
Sean,
yeah.
You would have been the first one up if it wasn't as low.
Hey, man, I was over there in, what's it called, the park right there, Lincoln. I was over in Lincoln Park with a GoPro camera and a bunch of Second City kids, and we were acting out we were doing a satire of the What Does the Fox Say video. So I'm just saying, I'm not below, nothing's beneath me, pal.
All right. Well, that's true. You got that Goonies money. You got that Goonies.
Well, hey, Matt,
and those Hobbit movies, those Lord of the Rings.
We got some time to think about it.
Yeah. That's true. Sean, I'd love to do something with you in the future. That'd be great.
All right. I'm waiting for my offer. I'm going to be sitting here waiting by my laptop for that offer to come through. We've got 19 cents and a
I got 19 cents. We can make that work. If that's what we're talking about.
We promise you.
Yeah, that's true. You do eat well on our set.
Yeah.
And,
oh, I eat well everywhere. That's a shame.
I believe that, too. But that's why you run. That's why you run.
That's exactly it. That's right. All right. That's right.
Well, thank you, Sean, so much.
All right. This year, we're good. I'm going to run the. I'll break some news on this show for people who care about my running thing. But I'm going to do the Marine Corps Marathon at the end of October. So since you didn't get into. Oh, they may have closed that, too. But anyhow, that's in Virginia. It's going to be amazing.
Man, they let you do every marathon.
Yeah,
all these marathons.
Sean's a celebrity marathon guy.
All I do is sneak into the front of the pack, and I look behind me like, boy, they're slow.
Yeah. Well, when I grow up, I want to do that too someday.
Oh, you want to be like Sean when you grow up. Yeah, there you go.
We're both short and stout. There's something to be said for us.
I'm only 28. When I grow up, maybe I can be you.
There you go.
28, that's when I ran my first marathon. I was 28.
See, it's meant to be.
There you go.
Bing, just like that.
Brother.
You guys rock.
The Boys of Abu Ghraib, you can catch it on video on demand now, and you can buy it on DVD. Mom's Night Out, you could see in theaters next month. I believe that's May 1st that it comes out.
May 9th, May 9th. That's a good one. Families are going to love that one.
Yeah, and Trace Atkins is in it, and Patricia Heaton, so big movie. VoxPopuliRadio.com is where you go. That's May 1st for Sean's next show. And go there anyways now to catch up and also check out everything on the website. It's a great website.
Godspeed. Thank you so much. That was awesome.
All right. Talk to you later, brother.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
He's great.
Yeah,
you like Sean Astin?
No, he was great.
You like Sean Astin? Let's review Sean Astin right now. His performance was all right.
Especially because he's listening still.
Yeah.
Let us critique him.
He's an A-.
Oh, room for improvement?
Yeah,
no. Oh, come on.
You like Sean?
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. What did the audience think of Sean? Oh, yeah, they liked him.
Yeah.
I was a little nervous.
The studio audience loves him. That's wonderful.
What do you think of Lee Capreas, audience? Whoa. Come on. Keep it classy. All right. Calm down. It's just Lee. Calm down. God, he's replaceable. Don't get so worked up.
We're going to have to work on that audience. They're not very politically correct.
No, there was... By the way, come on, audience, you could admit Lee's really funny on the show. Look at those crickets. Crickets. You can give me a cheer or something. No. Come on.
Well, at least they're politically correct now.
All right. Well, all right.
Priceless.
Poor Lee. That was a fun interview.
That was great.
I love Sean.
No, he's good. Mm-hmm. At least he's got some energy, you know.
Now that I know I could have cast him in my movie, I'm a little bummed out.
I noticed.
I know. Him and Kim Coates. I'm now like, why'd we cast that other guy out of fire?
Yeah.
You know, here's something I learned. There's a lot of actors out there that'll do a lot of films if they like the film for nothing.
Oh, yeah.
Like nothing.
It's still fun.
Like, their managers get pissed when they get those offers, but it's still nothing. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, for the next project.
Well, here's what the next... That's a very good point. You know, my idea for the next project was, other than the women I was going to cast in was to, for small roles, cast a bunch of our regulars from the podcast. Like the Nick Searcy's and the Brett Cullens and the Sean Astins and those people of the world. The Jim O'Hares and the, you know, those guys.
You'll have like the Expendables of like characters.
Character actors, right. All I need is Walken to star in it, and then it's...
Andor Pierco.
Let's get Walken and Paul Giamatti, and then I can cast the rest of it with character guys.
You know,
you really want to do a stump this, Steve? Are you prepped?
No, I'm not at all.
Good. Good.
This is
good.
Because
you're so good, you shouldn't have any.
That's
prep.
Right. Yeah, because I'm so good at everything I do.
I'm going to go in this with the exact same type of intensity and confidence I did on the last one, and assume I'm going to lose.
That's a good idea.
I'm going to go into this being positive I'll lose, because this fucko over here is going to give me something from 1970 that lasted one season.
All right.
He's
going
to give me the theme song of Tiny Toons. You're going to get the theme song of something I don't know.
How do you want to play this? You want to play this? Here's your category options. We could do this by decade, which means you'll get a song from each decade.
Okay.
We can do this by, you can do animation. But I believe that's what Mikey beat you in last time
exactly
with animation.
That's exactly what he beat me
I
on.
Think he owned you in like 90s
schooled
cartoons.
Schooled me at animation.
And late 80s and 90s cartoons, I absolutely had
he
your
ran
ass.
Over you.
Oh, absolutely.
Which I was impressed with, because this is shit like I forgot existed, and I heard the song, and I'm like, oh my God, and I knew the TV show.
And you were out playing baseball, you told me.
That's right.
You mentioned
when you beat him at one of them.
Yeah.
And you like were... You didn't rub it in, but you were, like, exuberant about it.
I was a little
happy. And Mikey's like, I'm sorry, I was out playing baseball as a kid, Steve, while you were sitting around watching TV.
Exactly.
he
was getting that baseball.
Like a vault.
That's right.
It's like a vault up here.
We could do comedies, or we could do dramas.
Oh, I'll go. So it's either decades, or it's comedies or dramas? Is it either
or? Decade, animation, comedies, or drama.
Oh.
Which one you want to do?
I got to go comedy.
Comedy?
I'll stand a chance.
Mikey?
If I was going to pick one, I mean, excluding animation because we've done it, I would have done either comedies or decades because I don't know anything about dramas.
I think decades is more fair.
Decades is more fair. Do it the more fair route. I agree.
I think decades
But you agree,
more
Mikey,
fair.
Decades is more fair?
We're going to go 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and the aughts.
Okay.
Well, let me put you this way, Steve.
Yeah.
I know so little about TV, I'm not sure what isn't fair.
Okay. Well, I don't...
Now, here's how we play. No one wins... Until they get a point.
Right.
So we'll keep going through the whole decade until someone gets one right.
Certainly.
And they get a point.
Right. And
okay.
Do you have your tally paper out?
Well, I could tell you. Yes, I could. Are you ready, Steve? We'll start with you.
Yes, I am ready. I shall do my best, in the words of Ben Stein.
Now, here's the thing. No. That does not. No. No, match game is not an option.
That was
an accident. I accidentally clicked on
match
game.
What was that?
It was match game.
What's match game?
Match game's like a dating show from the 60s, I want
to
say.
No. It's they had the panel of celebrities.
Right.
And you tried to match with fill-in-the-blank question.
I thought it was the dating show, the match
no,
game.
No, it was all celebrities, and they would
but
try to, like,
just say the
funny.
Match game in the... theme?
Called the match game. Yeah, that's the other thing. We have a rule on this show. So the courtship of Eddie's father will not be played because it literally has something about the courtship of Eddie's father in it. So we try to avoid any kind of like...
where it says the theme, the name of the... Yeah.
Right.
Which is a little hard because most executive producers, when they come up with theme songs, want that in there.
That's right. Like the Jetsons, Speed Racer, blah, blah, blah.
Okay. So
all right.
Further
so we are going to start with...
By the way, I got to say, One thing I've realized I hate about Snapchat, when you get the kind of gold that I got the other night, you really want to keep it around.
Oh, that broad?
No.
The stuff that you were filming.
If you watch the videos in sequence, it was great.
The stuff you were filming at the meeting was great.
Hold on.
Hey, what's up?
He's taking a call while we're on the air.
All right, where do you want me to meet here? Okay, where you got to go on DG? Are you going to be off Ogden?
Where's he got to go on DG?
I said, where are you going to be headed? You got to go down like my.
This is happening.
I want to run with Sean Astin now. I want to get sweatbands, and I think
I can't
you can't get into the.
All right, that's great.
No, it's a lottery, dude.
Well,
you're
already
eight,
right?
Total.
I can't believe you can't get in.
Okay.
There.
What the fuck?
I smoked the Shamrock Shuffle. I did real well on that.
All right, are you ready, Steve?
Yeah, I'm ready. I'll show you
your
purse. Meet at Hooters. Hooters it is.
You're gonna meet at Hooters.
Okay.
Wait,
all right.
Are you? Yeah,
I am ready.
Second one.
Yeah, I'm on the second one. I'm here.
This is easy.
Whoa.
Okay, is this my song? I know this one.
This is your song for the 60s.
This is Hawaii 5-0.
It is Hawaii 5-0.
Okay. All right. Well, no problem. We have plenty of other shows to drink.
All right. 1-0, Steve.
Yeah, I get.
Well, no, Steve didn't get a point yet.
I didn't get
Let's
a point.
Let's see what Mikey gets here.
If you don't get this, then I get the point, right?
That's true.
Okay,
that's
but
true.
I guessed correctly.
It is Hawaii 5-0.
That's what I thought.
Here goes Mikey's.
Thank God I quit that decade. It's a hard decade.
60s is tough.
60s is tough. This one's just for Mikey now.
I know. I was
you were on the phone.
Yeah, which I'm going to have to leave about 5 minutes. I really do recognize that this is the 50s.
60s.
Well, I know it's not. I know what. It's not My Three Sons.
No, it is not.
Mm.
He did this last time. He narrowed it down trying to get reactions.
I'm not staring at any of you.
No, you're not. No, you're not. Not right now.
I'm gonna have to. I'm gonna say I'm stumped on this one. What is it?
Family Affair.
Oh,
Family Affair.
I would never have guessed that.
All right, Steve. 1970s.
Yes, I shall.
You got a point. Now,
I got
right?
a point. Yes.
All right, we'll do three because that'll give us an odd number, and I got
to
roll.
Best of three
best
sounds
of three
good to
fine.
Me. So we'll do 70s and then 80s.
Okay.
Here comes 70s.
Okay.
Dr. David Banner, physician.
Oh, Incredible Hulk.
Searching for a.
You know, when it says Dr.
Do you
David
think that's
Banner.
Fair with the David Banner?
Well, gee, I wonder who else it could have been.
Well, if you don't know comics.
That's true.
If you don't know
comics. All right, that wasn't fair. I got to give you another. I got to give you another. Here we go.
Hey, I'll be honest. I didn't know until he said David Banner. I do need to be honest.
Well, then you do know comics, though.
Yeah, I do know comics. Yeah. But a lesser person.
Think of all the animals you've ever heard about, like rhinoceroses and tigers as a name.
Well, it's not the Brady Bunch.
I can't play the rest of it because they'll get in.
Oh, fuck. Something with animals. I'm stumped.
The Pink Panther. The Pink Panther.
I always thought
the
it was
next line of the song was, the pink, do you know about a panther that is pink?
Wow, that's a total different.
It was on 7 years, so I don't feel that's an unfair one.
No, it's not unfair.
No, I don't think it's unfair at all. I just didn't know there was
a show.
A Pink
I knew there was a
show.
Like the cartoon. Was it a cartoon?
It was the one. No, live action.
It was live action.
All right, here comes
Mikey for the tie here.
Now this one. Oh, come on. The mayor of North Hollywood, I call him.
Give any hints?
He doesn't know, but you may know.
I
drives the oldest Rolls Royce for any celebrity ever because he can't afford a new one.
He doesn't understand though. I still have no. I mean, I got Bob Hope through my head. I got the A team going
Hope's
through my head.
Dead.
I know.
A team's close, but no cigar.
Mr. T.
It's Chips. Eric Estrada was who I was referring to with the oldest Rolls Royce in town.
He's the mayor of North Hollywood.
And he drives around like he is. All right, I guess we have to stick with this. No one has a point yet. Here's the next one.
Oh, we're sticking to 70s?
We're sticking in 70s till someone gets a 70.
All right, first point wins because I got to go. All
right, that's fine.
I got to go meet a client.
All right.
Oh, it's a client.
All yeah, right. It's a...
At the Hooters?
It's a nice. I have an order of cigars in my car.
Oh.
So, yeah. So,
and okay. I don't know. And he's gonna say, he was going to be there 15 minutes about 10 minutes ago. So,
let's wrap
you
it up
come,
for Mike.
Right. I'll be done. I'm only going to be with him for like 10 minutes. So I'll be back. Or, you know. Whatever.
Well, we're going to wrap up by then.
Yeah.
We can meet up, though.
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, that's too easy. All right. Here we go. Is this one for who?
This is for me. Because Mikey just missed chips.
Okay.
So I shall do my best.
Mike, you just missed chips.
I don't watch a lot of TV.
Yeah, I got it from the clue he gave. That's the only reason I got
I'll know some.
Okay.
All right. This one is a show that's 8 years old. This is an 8-season show.
Is it Hill Street Blues?
Oh.
What's that?
Dave, so close. Fuck. Wrong decade. Barney Miller.
Oh, fuck.
So right. Mikey for the steal. And technically the tie, but I guess
we'll call no this tie. That's tied.
Tie's okay.
We can recap it a future episode.
Yes, that's
true. Here we go.
It'll be like hockey tie.
To see.
Probably get this.
Is this my song?
This is yours. This was on 7 years.
God damn it.
In the 70s?
Benson. You never got it. All right.
What's Benson?
It was Jerry Seinfeld.
Spin off
of
soap.
Yeah.
What was soap?
Soap was a 70s sitcom.
I'll just play a theme. If you buzz in and guess it, you win.
Okay.
That's how we're going to do this.
Jesus Christ.
Benson?
Yeah.
I got Benson?
Yeah. It's a pretty popular show.
And just to make sure we have a winner on this next one, I'm going 80s.
Oh, nice.
Thank God.
Seinfeld was
Thank
actually,
God.
He was
Apparently, funny. I know less about the 70s shows
right.
than I thought.
This show was 8 years old, so no excuses.
All right.
8 seasons.
I love that you're using it. Oh, Cosby's.
Cosby's show. He was right, Cosby.
My brain was starting to recognize it immediately.
Mikey, go enjoy your meeting. Thank you for Jane. Thank
Steve,
you for joining
Steve.
Us.
Steve. I'm handing you a fictitious crown at the moment.
Oh, thank you. I'm no longer a stump, or can I still be a stump?
No, you're still the Steve the Stump.
Oh, thank you.
Good thing Steve's not dancing to this, like the Cosby.
I
but
there
it is. There it is.
I wanted to be like that fat girl, Raven Simona. What's her name?
I remember, he had a bunch of themes.
Oh, he did. I would have known this one, too.
I actually like this theme the most, because it sounds like an Arnold Schwarzenegger theme from one of his, like, 80s
hey.
Action movies.
Call me when you're done. I'll be done.
Yeah. This sounds like a theme from, like, an Ivan Reitman movie in the 80s.
Absolutely.
Like the Bill Cosby show.
Mikey, if you're going to the Hooters on Butterfield, you can probably shoot down possibly 355 be your best bet. It'll be your fastest bet.
No, Mikey knows how to get to the Hooters.
Well, I thought he said fastest.
Oh,
I thought
fastest?
He was asking,
355.
I thought he was asking about fastest.
355.
Because you know me, I'm a speed racer.
See, even Tobias knew it was chips.
Well, I was playing baseball as a kid. Come
right.
on.
Whoa.
Something the matter? Did I offend everyone? Because, you know, that's what I wake up every morning with my alarm blaring to Saved by the Bell, and then I just go out and offend people.
Is there anything else we want to talk about or do?
We could if you'd like. I saw a great show on PBS not long ago. It was wonderful. I was building porches.
That's what we were going to talk
about.
Yeah,
this next. Old we were going to talk about this old house. No.
Okay, and that's all for tonight, folks. And Sean Astin was great.
He was great. Sean Astin.
Boys of Abu Ghraib, you can get on VOD right now, video on demand on your boxes. Or you can buy it on DVD.
You can.
And
May 1st for his show.
Mm-hmm. And May 1st for his show, VoxPopuliRadio.com. And Mom's Night Out is May 9th.
May 9th, yes.
Boy, that guy just has
everything.
Everything coming out.
He just everything he's working on.
And
he's running a marathon, so you know, go watch him run.
I hate Facebook. That's how we wrap this up.
You
Facebook
do hate Facebook.
Won't let me
deactivate. Yeah, you can't deactivate. They love
horseshit.
You are one of their
I'm stuck.
You're stuck.
They don't want me to leave. So unless it's show related, I will not be posting.
Yeah, I don't think you should. Actually, no. Okay, on a positive note, what you do need to keep doing is liking things and telling people why, because that's priceless.
Yeah.
I did do that today. We didn't tell them that. So my new thing was I was liking people's
Whoops.
Posts, and then I said... I liked this, and then I would give like a really bad answer why I liked it,
and it's hilarious. I'm sorry, I didn't know
that
was
funny.
I didn't know that was a secret.
No, it's kind of funny.
I didn't think it was a secret, but
it's kind of funny.
I also did that for your protection because when people start stealing that.
By the way, since I have 17 messages I haven't read,
yeah.
on my Facebook,
sure,
but I don't know how to get to the 17 messages.
Well, you know what you could do is just douse it in water.
I mean, it's just all horseshit. I hate really. Facebook now. It's just all horseshit.
It is. It was cool when it was .edu. Not when they started letting everyone in. Yeesh. But yeah, I'm just, you know, wanting to. I didn't want people ripping you off with that because it's kind of funny. It's a little hilarious, and I didn't want anyone stealing that from you. Who's your next guest? Who's your next guest?
We don't know.
We don't. Okay. Well, because usually you plug that. I mean, I'm just trying to follow your little your plan with what's coming up next. But, you know, we'll be back, and it'll be pretty, pretty, pretty good. You're not even talking to your microphone, but that's all right.
Oh, yeah. That
yeah,
thing.
I was going to say, the microphone by your crotch.
I was writing an essay.
I'm sure you were. War and Peace, was it?
Oh, do we want to play one game before we go, which is my favorite game, which is...
Yes.
Facebook status
yes.
updates.
That, yes.
Do we want to play Facebook
we
status
certainly
updates
do.
Before we go, where we read some of my peeps' status updates?
Yes, we do. They're all usually classic.
I think so.
You have the passive-aggressive types, you've got the woe-is-me types, and you got the proud types, and they're all golden.
And welcome to Facebook status updates.
2014.
Thank you.
This is the Matthew Aaron Show.
I'm Matthew Aaron, and I am here with Steve Weirich.
I am here.
Steve,
yes,
in
sir.
Today's Facebook status updates, Nick Hajek says, ha ha ha, Metallica on 97.1, The Drive.
Tragic news. Tragic.
Laura Midge, fuck it all. President Obama, why do secretaries pay more taxes than the CEOs they work for? Question mark. Oh, that's right. You are too busy sucking them off for cash to care.
Stunning, stunning
dot,
news.
Dot, dot.
Yes, Laura, stunning news. But Charles John.
Chuck John, who's not here tonight. Charles Salvatore.
Yes.
Free booze, dot, dot, dot. Count me in.
That is Charles Salvatore. Stunning.
Count me in.
Right.
Melissa Calabrese.
Right.
Friends, please mark April 28th on your calendar. More to come. It will be amazing. Promise.
I am there.
Chuck John has liked this.
Oh, well, maybe there's free booze. I can only imagine.
Julia Gray. Insomnia is the worst.
The woman doesn't sleep.
Julia Gray again. I want someone to buy me a chicken corsage.
That's borderline animal cruelty.
Shane Kelminski, one of BuzzFeed's top 10 users, Hart. I'd like to thank Walt Disney, Mystique, Hamburgers, and Drag Queens. BuzzFeed has millions of users. I'm actually pretty proud of this.
What amazing
I have
news.
No idea what it even
is. I don't know what a BuzzFeed is, but that sounds like a trying achievement.
Julia Gray again, not camera friendly.
Not camera shy either. Okay.
Vinny Rosalio, I suddenly am wondering when rugby season starts.
And I want to know.
Wink, wink.
I'd like to know when it ends. When, for the love of God, will it end?
Let's see. Who else do we have here? Status updates. Facebook status updates.
2014.
Melissa Calabrese, I'm ready for a vacation, like, comma, yesterday.
The time to start is now.
Jordan Cook, riding around, being bored, taking selfies, all one sentence.
When will he start moving the selfies? That is the question.
Ooh, that's a good one. I'm not going to comment on that. That's too good. Jonathan Ferracampos, the IRS can suck my fat dong. Hashtag ain't giving them shit. Hashtag it's a scam.
Ferracampos, people for president, 2016.
And we'll do one more. One more.
One more, please. My correspondent says one more.
Michael Hatchell, just because life is better doesn't mean it's easier. And yes, comma, I realize this is a very my spacious type post. Apologies in advance.
The man needs to end his MySpace.
And that's Facebook status updates. There you go. Facebook status updates, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Too kind. Too thank kind. Oh. Oh. Hey, hey. The belcher in the audience. Get him out of here. The man's burping PBR in my face. Rowdy bunch we have here.
Oh,
tonight.
What a great show we had. We had Sean Astin. We had Michael Perrazzo. Yeah. Steve Weirich, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
We did status updates. We did Facebook kvetching. We did...
We farted.
Was there any... farting? Did you... toadstool it?
Absolutely.
Was it a door jam? How about you light a match? Old Sparky. Maybe you like the variety shows.
That's the best. You gotta get that taken care of.
We had Sean Astin.
We did him.
We had Mikey Terzo here. Oh, oh yeah, we did. We had Steve Weirich joining me.
Whoops, sorry. Was that Bruce? Oh, jeez.
And then,
oh,
of course, you okay. have me, your host, who will be here next Wednesday with you, the Matthew Aaron.
Oh, God. Ah, jeez, it smells like onions.
Yes. And then what do we leave you with today? Does anyone want to be left with something?
I think so.
All right.
Studio audience is giving me the nod.
Oh, I know what we need to do. I'm going to leave you with one of our favorite things ever. Well, not that.
Nothing's going to stop me now.
What's not going to stop you now?
Nothing's
going to stop me now. Do 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 do. Okay, here we go. Oh, and I'm getting rad out on the status updates. But,
I'm a big fucking dick.
All right, we'll see you next week.
I'm a pain in your ass. I drink all your beer. I'll eat the last slice. I'll give you Charlie horses. I'll pull your shorts down at the beach. I always need a ride. Nobody likes me. My name's Steve. Motherfucker!
Holly Chronopoulos.
I spit when I talk. I swear in front of your mother. I throw shit at the movies. I wear tight pants. I ask you to buy an extra Yankee ticket. And then I don't show. I tell you I saw your girlfriend fucking two guys at a party. Cough my name, Steve.
Chronopoulos.
I'll piss on your toilet seat and tell your dad you can show. I'll borrow your jacket and never think of me again.
Holly Chronopoulos.
Pansy, pussy, shit for brains, douchebag. I'll leave your gate open so your dog runs away. I'll make fun
one of your pillows. Then I'll grab your sister's ass. Call my name, Steve.
Mm-hmm.